Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. Always a pleasure to have our good buddy Gary Moore back on the show. Folks, Gary's in the building, so buckle your seatbelts, and you're going to be prepared for a wild ride. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's been with me since 98. We've actually gone over 11 years now with Gary Moore. Couldn't do without him. He's the author of a number of books, including one of my favorite, Spiritual Investments, Wall Street Wisdom from the Career of Sir John Templeton, and then his newest book, Faithful Finances 101. Gary Moore, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Good to be back with you, buddy.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. Now, Gary, we need to make sure people understand, okay, at one point in time, you were part of the Wall Street establishment.
Oh, yes.
Tell the audience about that.
I was the senior vice president of Payne Webber, and this was in the Michael Milken years, the late 80s, when we thought ethics had hit rock bottom.
Yep.
And I toyed with...
We got young people who may not remember this. What was going on?
Okay, well, it was a period of, let's call it the era of OPM, what we call other people's money.
Yep.
And the concept of junk bonds was a guy could buy a huge company and not use any of his own money. He could just go to Mike Milken, who was with a firm called Drexel Burnham.
Right.
And just borrow everything he wanted. He was going to buy a $1 billion company. And Mike kind of did it the right way for a while, at least. And then everyone got into the act, and of course, they ruined the concept, if you will. It wasn't all Mike's fault, but Mike made some serious mistakes of getting a little bit on the greedy side at the end, charging some unnecessary fees and so on. And it was sort of the government's way of putting an end to this. And a lot of this money, by the way, was savings and loan money. Savings and loans can invest in stocks, but they can invest in bonds. And even though these bonds look more like stocks in reality, they could still buy them. And, of course, it contributed to the savings and loan mess. They didn't
Along with the syndication industry.
Ended up costing the government a whole bunch of money.
Yep, $87 billion, as I remember.
I didn't remember that number.
Something like that.
Doesn't that seem small now?
It's like lunch money right
it's
now.
It's lunch money.
Yeah.
And so the big picture is, as we're saying, is this was all bad enough that I was headed to seminary. And I went through a process, a year-long process of reviews and so on. And the church ended up saying, we got plenty of people know about God. We don't have anybody knows anything about money. And, of course, over on the Wall Street side, it was the exact opposite. They had plenty of people knew about money, and they didn't have anybody knew about God. So I have been spending my time for the last 20, 25 years trying to build a bridge between the financial community and the investment community.
And how have you been doing?
Well, I'm not sure which is harder, teaching theology to Wall Streeters or teaching money to the church.
Yeah.
Pastors are, and money is just oil and water. And Jim, that's part of our problem today. The church has more or less given up the responsibility, we'll use the word responsibility a lot today, for economic morality to what we call the secular community of Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And the easy way...
The church, when you say the church, you know, people who are out here in flyover America who belong to, you know, the First Baptist or the Christian Church or the Methodist Church or whatever across the country, they don't understand about that because they know their budgets are tough right now. They don't have any money to invest. So when you say church is investing, that most people don't understand who's doing that.
That's correct, but what I'm really talking about is not just investing. I'm talking about most of the surveys that are done, and there's people like Laura Nash at Harvard who study this, wrote a wonderful book called The Sunday-Monday Divide, and what she says is the predominant characteristic of Western mankind, and business people in particular, is that we're one person on Sunday and we're another person from Monday to Saturday.
Yeah.
And that
thank God for Sunday when we can ask for redemption.
And the church actually contributed to that.
Yeah.
There is a famous example of Ray Kroc of McDonald's.
Yep.
Who famously said, my priorities are God, family, and money, and when I go to work on Monday, all that reverses. And that was me 25,
mm-hmm.
30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be that way. Those things, your faith and your family and your finances, don't have to be exclusive, do they?
No, absolutely not. In fact,
yeah.
I have found it's the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. Hold on to that thought, Gary. Folks, this is, I love hearing Gary talk about these things. It kind of settles me down and makes me feel a little bit more centered. But I'm gonna throw a little excitement, a little spark into this, because I'm gonna talk about this Wall Street versus Main Street thing that I like to talk about. 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Gary Moore. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there and checking it out, using it to your advantage. We built it just for you. And if you want to, if you will, I would appreciate it if you would subscribe to my free newsletter, because I think you'll like it. I think it comes to you every Sunday afternoon by email. We just finished 10 years of not missing a single issue on Sunday afternoon, and which is a record we're kind of proud of. So I hope you'll check it out and subscribe. It's free, and it comes by email. And if you don't like it, if you decide you don't like it, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe, and all that takes is your email address. So check it out, and all the other things there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Gary Moore is our guest. He's the author of Faithful Finances 101, and he's one of our financial advisors, but the only financial slash religious advisor we have on the show. I mean, you're a pretty unique commodity, Gary.
Well, it's kind of odd stuff. As I said, when I started to go to seminary, the psychologist said, he told me I'm one person on Sunday and another person from Monday to Saturday. Think about it, Jim. Sunday we teach faith and charity. And the guiding rule on Wall Street is people make investment decisions out of fear and greed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have faith and fear, greed and charity, diametrically opposed.
Right.
And the only way you can do that and survive without all the stress is compartmentalize, what we call it.
Yeah.
And I said, geez, that's awful. And the psychologist said, no, that makes you perfectly normal.
Yeah.
And the more study I've done, the more I realize that is common in America.
And yeah.
Sort of our society.
The compartmentalizing, yeah.
That's exactly
mm-hmm.
right. So, yeah, it's a little weird, but, there's more people out there doing it than you think.
And so you think that you don't have to do that?
No, and I learned that from John Templeton. The last question they asked me in seminary is, who is your mentor? And I said, I had never thought of it, and I said, I lost my dad at an early age to cancer, Jim. And I said, well, it'd have to be a guy named John Templeton. He was always in the press and so
mm-hmm.
on. And when I did not go to seminary, Jim, and stayed on Wall Street instead, sort of, I began studying more about Sir John, became friends with him, wrote a couple books about him, and I became convinced in 25 years of study that Sir John's achievements in life and success in the true sense of the word, and being the most respected financier on Wall Street probably, as well as one of the most productive in
right.
earning returns, was his having his priorities in order. God number one, family and business number two, and three. And he kept them that way. That's the important part.
Mm-hmm.
He did not panic and get fearful, and he did not get greedy at tops. And because he was always what we call prudent, which is just a spiritual moderation of fear and greed.
And for those people who are a little bit put off by the religious angle of this, You don't have to. It doesn't have to be about religion. It could It just needs to be about not making taking other people into consideration in your decisions.
That's exactly right. And people.
And when you say other, maybe even other people is a problem because you know that might be your ex. And you don't want to take them into consideration. But when you say other people, just think about society. Just think about the greater good, right?
Well, think of concentric circles. In the middle is us, and we're all self-centered, okay? Certainly am after 20 years of trying. And then just beyond that, in the scheme of things, is your family. Well, before I started this, I used to come home and read research all night and all of that, and then my son was born, and as the old saying goes, he saved me from toxic self-absorption. and then the next concentric circle is you're usually conscious of, or what's called organizations. It could be your church, it could be the Rotary Club, it could be your country club or whatever, but you're expanding your consciousness.
You're subordinating your self-interest just a little bit every time you participate, aren't you?
Well, in a way, okay, here's the irony and the paradox. Religion's hard to grasp and ethics is hard to grasp because it doesn't sound logical that you can give something up and get more.
Right.
But what Sir John used to say, he literally told me one time, he said, you know, for the last 20 years of his career, he managed money half the time and worked on religion half the time. And what he found was that the more he worked on religion and was respected for it and appeared in our publications like Christianity Today and Christian Science Monitor and stuff, he didn't even have a sales team. People came to him. And by having the world know what he stood for and the way he managed money, people came to him, and he didn't have to go out and chase people.
Why didn't his, as influential as he is, as he was, I mean, his name is a hallmark.
Yep.
If he's not in the Investors Hall of Fame, folks, he is the guy other people are named after. I mean, when there's a difference when you receive an award and when other people receive an award in your name. He's that guy. Why didn't his brand of why isn't that more the norm then?
It's not human nature. We feel like we're giving something up, and indeed, if you think about capitalism, Jim, it begins with you giving up a little bit of consumption. Okay? It's like if you put it in agricultural terms, when you harvest your corn, you can eat it all.
Right.
Okay? But capitalism, in essence, says, hey, let's take a little of that corn back and plant it next spring.
Right.
And you get multiple returns on it. And capitalism is just saying you can do with money in other areas of life what they used to do with corn in biblical times. Okay. But capitalism itself begins with sacrifice, and that's what we've forgotten with our low savings rates and so on over the last several years.
Deferred gratification is what you're talking about.
It's called the Calvinist
ethic. We're not good at that. We're not as good as. But I think we're going to be getting better at that. I think we're going to get Gary Moore to talk to us some more about this. This is fascinating stuff. Only from Gary Moore could we get this, folks. And I'm glad to say he's our good friend. Ten till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Little Joe Cocker bringing us back. Wild and Crazy Englishman. We love his music here. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're still rocking with our good friend Gary Moore. We're talking about blending, folks. We're talking about balancing. We're talking about thinking about things, trying to figure out a way to find a little more reason for. I mean, isn't this what we're really looking for, Gary? Isn't meaning the ultimate thing that we're trying to come at here when we're talking about subordinating ourselves to something greater than us, and not just focusing on money? I mean, I sometimes I wish I'd focused a little more on money, but seriously, aren't we talking? You know, I see people. I meet people now who are at my stage of life, you know, in the baby boomer, the upper end of the baby boomer folks, and they've lived their whole life with any kind of a faith life. They've lived their whole life, you know, not subordinating at all, giving, you know, just basically just focusing on themselves. And I see people seeking things out now that they didn't do before, and there's clearly something missing in their lives.
So this ties into your concept of Main Street versus Wall Street, Jim.
Yeah.
Let me put it in context for you. If first of all, if you read Adam Smith, who was the world's first economist,
Wealth of Nations,
book Wealth of Nations, it will tell you that by pursuing money, the baker, we end up doing good for the world, and that's true a lot of the times. But
the invisible hand.
Well, life isn't as simple as bakery products anymore, Jim. You can now make money distributing illicit drugs and so on.
Right.
And so things are more complicated. However, what people don't know is Smith actually came to prominence writing a book called The Theory of Moral Sentiment.
Right. And tell the audience what that is.
The very first paragraph of that book says that you have a need as a human being to see others. Good things happen to
yes.
others, even if you benefit not one whit.
Yes, you should. You should be happy when you see other people prosper.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and that's what we've lost, Jim. We've taken Adam Smith as a nation, and if he studied at all, we put it in a psychology department or a theology department. While the business people read The Wealth of Nations and they don't get it. Now let's go back in 1960. I went to college, Jim, and there's a survey of incoming freshmen, and it says, what are you here for? And the answers are to make money, to find meaning in life, develop a philosophy of life, or whatever. And when I went to college in 1968, remember that was the flower power?
Yeah.
There were 60% of us there, in essence, to have a meaningful philosophy of life. 40% were to make money, and they were mostly in the B schools, of course.
Mm-hmm.
In 1974, Jim, those lines crossed, and more incoming freshmen were interested in learning to make money than they were to develop a meaningful philosophy of life.
Yeah.
It is only in very recent years that we're beginning to see that line about a meaningful life turn back up again, while some people are beginning to question how badly they want to make money. Money's always important.
Well, the thing that chaps me about Wall Street versus Main Street is, see, I say that Wall Street is a derivative of Main Street. Nothing happens on Wall Street until somebody makes and sells something on Main Street.
Yeah, but we don't understand what's going on Wall Street, or we didn't until last year, Jim.
Yeah,
here's what I'm getting at. Main Street today, this country was built on the Calvinist ethic or Puritan ethic of little sacrifice, watching out for your neighbor, working hard. Wesley said you could not be religious without growing rich because you're going to be less materialistic, save more money, and so on. But then he said once you're rich, it'll destroy your religion. That's another story.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the point. All those, what I call the elite, went to college to learn to make money. Now, in political terms, wherever I was a political scientist, money is power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what they're after.
Right.
And there was a philosopher named Ayn Rand who came along on that period. And what she did is she said, in essence, she weakened the ethic of love thy neighbor as thyself. She, in essence, said, love thyself, let your neighbor love his or herself.
She was objectivist, wasn't she?
Yeah, objectivist. She was very individualistic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then she said the moral purpose of your life is to make money. In Atlas Shrugged, the last thing she does is have John Galt make the symbol of the dollar over the world, which she used to wear a brooch of that nature all the time.
I got 20 seconds.
Well, anyway, the elite of this country have gone off. Now, the joke in academia today is MBA stands for me before anyone. And they've been reading Ayn Rand, while the people on Main Street have continued with this sort of
exactly.
loving your neighbor, the Calvinist ethic.
Yes.
We don't understand what's going
on. And that's the thing. But I'll tell you, Gary, I believe this is going to turn around because Main Street is going to become more important in the future than it has been, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be part of that. Hey, thanks for being here, Gary. Good job.
All right, buddy.
Gary Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be back tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.